something for the weekend? Good morning. How are you? It is Trina Mara and we've got Laura Anderson on the line. Good morning, Laura. How are you?
I am fab. Nice to be chatting to you.
Absolutely fab. Sure, I've been stalking your Instagram there since yesterday, having a look at all. You are big into trying on clothes.
Isn't every girl?
It's like, how does she have so many?
These reels on Instagram. I'm trying to be down with the kids, you know, with technology. I need to try out these reels. So, you know, it's so much fun. I've got my little dressing room and I went shopping the other day and I thought, you know, I'm going to do a little try-on haul. People like to, yeah. You know, we've all got a bit of a shopping addiction, I think. So, yeah, I popped on some music and away I went.
Because when you go into the shops now, so you can't try anything on. So you have to buy it, bring it home and then see if it works enough.
I know. This is dangerous. You end up buying a lot more. You know, like when you go into a changing room, like 20 things, you only end up buying two. But now you end up buying the 20 and then you can't bother taking them back.
Do you know, I'm a disaster for buying clothes and then you leave the tags on and they go into the wardrobe and you say, must bring that back. They never go back, do they?
No, especially if you get something online and then you think, oh, I don't want to go to the post office. I don't want to figure out, you know, if the paid sent it back. And I know, so
we're too lazy.
Hopefully we'll be able to try things on soon.
Yeah. So listen, Laura, it's gas because if you walked past me, I tell you, I wouldn't recognise you from the Laura that was on Love Island. You look completely different. Even the hair being a slightly different colour, you look like a different person.
Do you think? I know, it's mad. I mean, 2 years, it's like, I think I've learned a lot about makeup, you know, and I think sometimes, I think if you met me in person, you'd be like, oh, no, you look the same. But yeah, I'm just trying to get the right angles, you know? I'm supposed to be a professional on Instagram now, not like what I used to be like, taking like really bad photos. But yeah, there's a lot of competition out there. So I'm trying my best to look my best, but trying to keep it real sometimes at the same time.
Yeah, yeah. What was it that you did for a living, for anyone who doesn't know, Laura, before you went into Love Island and you became, you know, basically a social media star as well? What was the job, the day job?
Oh, so I used to be cabin crew. So I've been flying for over 10 years, which honestly, if anybody wants to apply to be cabin crew, maybe not right now, the best thing ever for, you know, young people, honestly, it's taught me so much. One of the best things probably apart from Love Island that I've ever done, you know, really build your confidence, get to travel, make loads of friends. And yeah, serve some chicken and beef, you know, as you go. So,
Are you making the announcements where the emergency exits are?
Yeah, well, everyone sort of gets to do that. They usually choose the native English speaker because obviously when I was in Dubai working for Emirates, there was loads of different nationalities. So sometimes, depending on when you were flying to, you know, I couldn't speak any other languages. We're so bad, aren't we? I feel like everyone else in the world can speak so many languages apart from us. But I used to like doing little PA announcements, telling people to sit down when there's turbulence, you know, trying to get people to listen to me. I was on a flight back from London the other day, and obviously now it's a lot more strict when you can get up, so they sort of make you disembark row by row, and this guy was standing in the middle of the aisle, and good on the cabin crew, they sort of stuck to their guns and they kept saying him literally in front of everyone, sit down, and everyone's looking at him and he's just taking his sweet time. I'm like, what the hell?
So thinking back to when you were cabin crew, do you have any stories of mad incidents that happened on board or anything like that?
Oh my God, honestly, the amount of things I saw, I feel like when people get on a plane, they just lose their mind. I don't know what it is. I mean, you're going on holiday, maybe have a few drinks, have a nice time, but God, some people's hygiene. I remember one guy, so random, literally stripped naked, ran up the cabin, like with one of our silver trays, and was hitting people over the head.
Right.
And that is not a lie.
Oh my gosh.
People are crazy on planes. Like, some people just sparking up a cigarette in their seat, thinking that they can go to the toilet at the door. And you're like, this is not a bathroom. Like, go into the toilet. Yeah. People are crazy, like the drunken situations were always the best. I didn't like it when people would like actually have physical fights. I'm not a police officer, but I felt like one. But the amount of things I saw is weird and wonderful, always entertaining and never the same day going to work, I have
no,
to say.
No. What I could never get over is how cabin crew managed to get up, number one, so early in the morning and look so glamorous so early in the morning, because I mean, I've done all the breakfast shows and had to be in work at, you know, 4 a.m., 5 a.m. but I was practically wearing my pajamas. The hair wasn't even brushed. So I always admire cabin crew, how they get ready. And but apparently you just get into the routine, don't you? And you just, you're in and out in 2 minutes, out the door.
Well, I don't know. It used to take me a good hour, because I think I used to do a lot of long haul flights, and I was never one of the girls that was good and took all our makeup on board, you know. So God, I used to put thick makeup on. It was like my mask. Used to protect me from all the negativity, complaining passengers. And yeah, this is not really a routine though, because all the flights are always different. I think the key for me was to never hit snooze. Make a plan. You've got to be really organized. This is how long it's going to take to get ready. This is how long it's going to take to get to the airport. Your suitcase is packed. Try and have a good night's sleep. As soon as that alarm goes off, jump up, get your makeup on, you know, put your hat on, and yeah, ready to go to face the longest shift ever, honestly. Some of them used to be like 24 hours by the time you'd be getting up to get into your hotel. It was mad. So I don't think I could do it now.
No, I know. You can do it in your very early 20s, and that's about it. And and what do cabin crew do? I know this has nothing to do with the interview that we're actually here to talk about, but I'm intrigued. What do cabin crew do when the rest of us passengers are having a snooze on a very long haul flight? Where do you go, or what do you do?
I mean, we always used to talk about galley FM. You know, we'd be sat in the galley having a chat, trying not to wake you up. We used to think the curtain was like, you know, soundproof. And then you get one of your seniors coming in like, girls, we really don't want to hear about your drinking antics at the weekend. People are trying to sleep. And you're like, ooh. But to be honest, not everyone does sleep. So you might think you're having a snooze and the cabin seems really chilled. But when I was working on like the big, you know, A380s, sort of up and down stairs, there was always people awake. So to be honest, you were always working. There's always something happening. There'd be some medical at the front of the plane, or, you know, we do get breaks. So the crew would be sort of half, and then you'd have to work double A as hard, you know. And then, yeah, with my airline, there was always loads of services and there'd be food and drink available at all times. So honestly, we didn't really get to stop. But it was good. I wish I had one of those watches at the time to count my steps. I'd be like literally walking to New York, you know, steps I'd be doing up and down the aisle.
Yeah. How long ago since you left Emirates then?
So it would have been literally 2 years, because I came straight from flying and went straight onto Love Island.
Oh.
It was crazy. I literally just applied so last minute. A lot of the girls knew, you know, they were going to be on like the year before. And yeah, I literally left Dubai, up my life, gone, went to Palma, went on the show, managed to do the whole way through, and then came off and I was like, oh, I don't have a home. Where do I live? And then I just went to the hotel for a bit, and then I was in London because I thought, you know, that's the best place to be to sort of utilise the whole situation.
Yeah, yeah.
Very mental.
Because, I mean, you know, you come out of Love Island, you don't have an actual job, but you do in a way. So like, what kind of things do you get up to then when you come out? Is it constantly doing, you know, magazine photo shoots? And how do you make a living when you come out of somewhere like Love Island? It's so different. You're used to having, you know, your normal salary. If you were working in Dubai, I would imagine it was quite good as well. To then, it's basically you're now self-employed, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, it was crazy. I didn't really have a plan. I think I was a bit naive. I think a lot of people go in there, they're really smart. They want to go on the show to maybe further something that they're already doing. But for me, it was just completely, you know, off the cuff. Loved the show, thought, you know, I'm single, hating men, just woke up my boyfriend. I thought, I need to just apply. I got it. So I thought, no brainer, just go for it. So when I came off, you know, everyone sort of gets an agent and, you know, everyone's interested and, you know, you're still sort of doing interviews, talking about the show. And then, yeah, a lot of it comes off of Instagram, which again was quite new for me. Different brands want you to, you know, wear their clothes. And then that's when the hard work starts. That's when you need to figure out, what am I passionate about? What makes me different to everyone else? And if you want that longevity, you need to be quite quick. So luckily for me, even though I did cabin crew, I used to be a hairdresser. And I'm one of those girls that's always sort of worn extensions. And, you know, I thought, I need to have my own hair extension range. Like, this is my dream. And it was actually in Ireland, I found the company, Heavenly Hair, and they sort of got my vision. So we've been working together for the past 2 years on creating my own brand of hair extensions called LA Locks. And it's just gone from strength to strength. So we sell like clip-in extensions and like professional tape. And obviously, I wear them myself and recently went brunette. That's probably why you don't recognize me as much. And yeah, it's just been a bit of a dream because I've wanted to sort of put my name to something that I actually know something about. You know, I sort of sourced the hair when we did all the packaging, and I knew my vision was quite clear. And I think sometimes you get all these brands coming to you, oh, can you advertise this? Can you put your face on that? And I think if you don't know much about it, you want it to be really authentic and genuine. So yeah, I'm sort of like living the dream, really. And well, we were supposed to come to Ireland, obviously lockdown. Oh my God, it's just ruined everything, hasn't it? Oh, and do like a bit of a launch there, because we did one in London when we first started. And hopefully after lockdown, we can do, you know, a little competition winner. I can do someone's hair for them, do a little photo shoot. And yeah, because Ireland's been a really big support for me, so I like working with you guys and coming over.
Good. And you're able to actually do the hair extensions too, are you? You're able to apply them?
Yeah, that's the thing. So obviously, I was a hairdresser before when I was in Dubai, and then I did my hair extension sort of course, which is just something that I've always been interested in and you know, wanted to do. So it makes it, like I say, a little bit more authentic. Hopefully people can trust that the product that we've created with Ellie Locks is something that I wear. So if people like my hair, then I'm like, well, you can have that too. And yeah, I think if we create some fun content when I'm actually there, it makes it a little bit more exciting than me just sort of sitting on the sideline.
Yeah. With these hair extensions then, Laura, is it glue or do they clip in or how do they work? I haven't got a clue now about hair extensions. I've never had them.
I know, people get, it's quite daunting. Like doing your hair is so difficult, isn't it?
If I had loads of money and there's one thing I could have, you know the way people say they'd get a personal chef to move in, a hairdresser. Yeah, a hairdresser is all I want. I can't even blow dry my hair straight. It takes me about an hour to get a frizzy do.
It's hard, isn't it? I know. And yeah, no, it's amazing to be able to like do my own hair, and I'm actually miss doing other people's. But yeah, we have the clip-ins, which are actually quite easy, and they come sort of in single packs. Sometimes when you buy hair, you don't want to spend too much money and then not use all the hair, so that's quite good. You know, you can just pop them if you've got sort of shorter bits at the front or the side. You can just do like the little single clip-ins, and you can take them out as well. You know, sometimes if you're a mom, you can't be bothered with all the faff. So if you're just going on a night out with the girls at the weekend, if you get the, you know, time away from the kids, they're just great to pop in and out. And so they're fab. And then obviously the tapes, they're just completely seamless and invisible. And I think the best thing now with technology, what you can get with hair extensions is the different colours, you know, the balayage look that we all love, and the highlighted colours. And, you know, they just wash, because they're human hair, they wash so well, just like our hair, dry so well. And you know, you can tone them, do whatever, and they just last so long because the quality is so good. So yeah, we definitely obviously ethically source as well, like the best hair that's going to last, so you can get the most out of your money. So yeah, I'm really proud of the product, and we're just growing and growing, and maybe try and bring out a little ponytail clip in or a little bun, just to make it easy.
Yeah, all the cabin crew be buying that bun, won't they?
No, it's great, isn't it? I should have had that one on the cabin crew.
I know, would have been perfect. And do you wash the hair as normal with the normal shampoo?
Yeah, it's exactly the same. I mean, it's you know, human hair, and I always think the best thing about Ellie Locks is we don't put that synthetic sort of like shine on it, because when you get that with other brands, then you wash it and then it just goes all naughty and tacky,
like your Barbie doll years ago.
Yeah, that's what hair extensions used to be like, but luckily now, like, everything, you know, we get just like moving forward. So it's been like a really proud moment to have my own brand. Obviously LA Locks is like my initial, very LA, you know, very cool. And and yeah, we're just growing and growing, and like I say, it's amazing to have the product in Ireland, obviously, and the UK. I mean, we sell sort of worldwide, and it's one of the reasons that I changed my hair, actually, because we sold out of all the blonde like colors when I was blonde.
Stop
and I'm
it.
Like, oh, I need to change my hair, because everyone always asks, oh, what colors do you wear? And I thought, well, I want to sell out of the brunette ones now.
Yeah. See, she's a great businesswoman as well. Years ago as well, with hair extensions, do you remember they used to give almost a bald patch? Remember years ago, Victoria Beckham and that, when they first started wearing them, people said, oh, they cause, but they don't do that anymore. They don't damage the hair anymore.
I think that, like, back in the day, I mean, you still get them now. That was like the sort of individual bond that would, you know, put a lot of strain on the hair. and cause breakage. You know, it's too heavy for your scalp to deal with. So with the tapes now, they grow down a little bit, and you reuse the hair and you redo the tape every 6 weeks, and then you pop them back up again, and they flip up and down. So when you wear your hair up, you know, they can easily be hidden because you don't have them showing round the sides, and there's no glue involved, so there's definitely no damage. And we've got like a little wet brush that's good for combing, you know, through the extensions. It's amazing, even on natural hair, to be honest. So yeah, they've come a long way, and we've sort of taken on board all the new technologies to just make them really light and invisible and seamless, so that the hair goes right up to the roots. So if even, you know, the dreaded wind blows, you can't see them.
So Laura, before we let you go, we have to ask you, how is the love life? What's going on?
Oh, the dreaded question. No, I'm just joking. Do you know what? Everyone always says I've been unlucky in love. I think if I've had quite a few boyfriends in my time, you know, because I'm a bit of a relationship girl, then I think I've done all right.
Yeah.
You know, I've had lots of, you know, been dating loads of hot men. I think I'm doing all right. I think I'm just a bit picky. And it's always, when you like someone, they end up not liking you back. And then when you don't like someone, they really like you. So I'm just trying to find the balance. So I was with my neighbour, actually, during lockdown. He was my personal trainer. We sort of got together. And, you know, I told him, just so you know, I'm moving up to Scotland. And he was actually all for that. He said he wanted to sort of follow me up, which is the dream, isn't it? But it didn't really work out. I mean, it was probably me, but I am just a bit picky. And I think as you get older as well, you don't want to waste your time. If you know what you want and it's not right, then it's best just to, you know, cut ties. And it's actually so difficult breaking up with someone. I honestly would rather be dumped, as you saw on Love Island many a time.
It's actually so difficult to meet people, never mind during a lockdown and a global pandemic. And I assume, no, you know, when you're Laura Anderson, you probably don't go onto the dating sites, do you?
Well, I know it sounds silly, but it is quite difficult to trust people now, because I think, God, what if a guy just messaged me and was like, oh, look, guys, that Laura from Love Island, like, ha, ha, ha. You don't really know people's intentions. I mean, you don't know people's intentions in a normal situation. So I just sort of appreciate maybe people that I've known for years, you know, friends through friends. But to be honest now, I'm not really looking to meet someone. And this is what I was talking about on my Instagram the other day about age. I feel like there's still a lot of ageism out there for women, and you know your body clock's ticking, you need to be married and do all this at this point in your life. But I'm just like, it's not fair. I think we've come a long way with, you know, different body shapes, different ethnicities, imperfections, you know, in that sort of modeling Instagram world. It's become really raw, and, you know, real people are now advertising different brands, which is amazing. But I do still feel that age is sort of seen as a negativity, and I really don't like that for women. It's not fair. And I did a little post the other day which got great sort of feedback from women who are the same age as me. You know, I'm 31, I'm single, I don't have kids. And it was just nice for people to say, oh, I hate it when people ask me why I don't have kids, or, you know, I'm happy, I'm just working on me, I've got a good job, a career, and I don't need a guy right now. And society is quite hard on women over 30, I think. And I really want to, like, not make women feel that they need to keep up with what the friends are doing, or feel like there's something wrong with them. Because if you're happy, things happen at the right time. And I'd rather be 31 than single than 24 and divorced, you know?
Yeah, or 31 and going out with a loser. You don't want that either.
We don't need to always be in a relationship. We need to learn to be by ourselves. It's the best thing for us as women to be independent. And it is difficult, and you need to be really strong and resilient. If you can build that up, I always think, I'm going to be the best mum, because I can teach my daughter or my son that, you know, you need to rely on yourself first before you rely on anyone else. Oh, it's a bit deep.
What's that? You've gone very deep. Laura, what do you not like in a guy then? What's the kind of a turn off for you? Because some of the guys, now I know Love Island, it was all glamorous, but some of them were just a bit too into themselves, and I would hate that.
Yeah, you know, you don't like, arrogance is just awful, isn't it?
Horrible.
You need a guy that's confident, but that arrogance, or someone, you know what I don't like? Guys that don't listen. Or obviously lie. That's my pet hate. The guy, yeah, they're into themselves, but they need to actually listen to what you've got to say and be genuinely interested, and then yeah, someone that doesn't cheat would be fab.
She's not looking for much. Do you know what? I bet you're going to meet somebody through work and that's going to be it. And it'll be a whirlwind. And before you know it, you never know. Or do what I did, Laura. I married a contributor from my radio show. So there was a guy that used to come in and he used to talk about technology. And I said to my boss, right. I said, do you know what? I think we need to get rid of this segment because it's just, you know, it's too nerdy. I don't think it's going to work. And yeah, he went on to be my husband. So.
Oh my God, you're trying to get him fired.
I tried to get him sacked, yeah.
Independent women over here.
I know. So yeah, so listen, Laura, it's been great to catch up. Are you heading off on holiday now or a business trip?
Yeah, well, a bit of both. I always try and put them both together. But because I used to live in Dubai, my sister's there and loads of my friends. And yeah, I'm going to go on Monday for a week, do some work as well, get some sun, and then back to the grind when I get back.
Do you have to quarantine or anything like that? It's so weird to even think about that, isn't it? Do you have to quarantine?
I know, yeah, you do. So I went in August, and then when I came back, I had to quarantine. But to be honest, I've got a lot that I need to do in the house. It seems strange, but I think we all do, don't we? Just working on the laptop, on Instagram, can do calls like this, you know, just from the sofa. I'm still in my pyjamas, I'm not going to lie. so I think, yeah, I'll be fine. It's worth it for me just because I've got family out there, you know, and my little niece. So I don't mind doing it. I don't mind.
Well, enjoy and the best of luck with the business. It's flying already. And if you want any details on the hair extensions, heavenlyhair.ie. And of course, follow Laura on Instagram because she doesn't have enough followers, apparently. What are you up to now? 1.5 million or more than that?
Yeah, 1.5. It's not enough. I need to keep growing.
It's pretty big. I think you'd be okay. Listen, Laura, thanks so much for taking our call and have a lovely time in Dubai.
Thank you. I'll speak to you soon.
Thanks, Millen. This is Something for the Weekend. It's Classic Hits.